those blue way markers were just little blips of hope on the horizon for us, hundreds of times, I think, through the 100 miles.
Welcome to the Kintyre Way podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by Joel and Simon Cockcroft, who in April 2024 ran the full length of the Kintyre Way over four consecutive days to raise money for Andy's Man Club and give directly. They join me to talk about how they chose this challenge and how it went. This episode has been sponsored by the Old Schoolhouse Gallery in Carradale. The Old Schoolhouse Gallery at the Heritage Centre in Carradale was launched in 2023 by three local artists to exhibit and sell their work. The photography, ceramics and mixed media artworks available at the gallery are all inspired by the colours and textures of the land and seascapes across Kintyre. They are open from Thursday to Monday, 10:30 to 4, from Easter until the end of September. More information can be found at their Facebook page, The Old Schoolhouse Gallery. Joel and Simon, you tackled the Kintyre Way quite ambitiously. Could you tell us what you did?
Yeah, so we decided we were going to run it, basically. Me and Joel have both been into running for some time. We were kind of looking for a challenge, I guess, and something that we could do that would raise money for charity as well, but something that would really push us. We've both done races and stuff before, but never anything in the kind of territory of ultras or anything that's, you know, long distance or, you know, anything on this kind of scale. So we went ambitious, set something that we thought we could genuinely potentially fail as well. That's the other part to it. We wanted to do something that was really pushing ourselves. So yeah, 100 miles, 4 days was the aim. Quite a bit of elevation along the way as well. So that was the goal. It was just kind of out of nowhere. We thought we'd run it.
And you ran from bottom to top. You started in Macrahanish and you finished up in Tarbert.
That's right.
Four days later. How did you break up the journey? What were the stages that you did?
We essentially got the map out and looked at what might be reasonable distances each day. If you divide the 100 miles equally over days, it's about a marathon a day. But of course, the good stopping points aren't exactly 25, 26 miles apart. So the first day we went from Macrahanish all the way around to Campbelltown, and then the second day from Campbelltown up to Carradale, and then Carradale to Clacken, and then we finished in Tarbert on the last day. So the first day was the longest. That was about 33 miles, I think, Simon.
Yeah, 53K. I work in new money. Yeah. I'm not sure how it works in miles.
So that was the biggest one. The second day was a bit shorter, and then the last two were around 24, 25 miles each.
And so after that first day, which is huge and has got some quite tricky bits in place, I went on that section, not that whole section, a couple of days ago with the dog. And even though the weather's been quite fine for a little while, it was tricky. So after that first day, how were you feeling?
I have to say, that first day is the hardest physical thing I've ever done and might ever do. It was brutal. So yeah, 53K. I think it was about 1,500 meters elevation we did in the end. And as you say, yeah, the terrain was not in our favor. We got super lucky with the weather all the way through and in the lead up as well. So I think it was about as dry as we could have hoped for, but up on the top of that moorland, it was still pretty relentlessly boggy in places. Our parents, who were supporting it, and I'm sure we'll speak a bit more about that later, but they were really good with being able to get dry shoes to us. So, you know, we got that first half of the day done and our feet were just absolutely soaked through. So it was a lifesaver to get a new pair of shoes on that halfway point on that day. But at the same time, it's just stunning because it's just those blue posts across the moorlands. No, like, really well-defined footpath, but it just feels really wild, proper kind of fell running. So even though it was brutally difficult, it was very enjoyable.
Yeah. What made you choose this area to start with anyway? Where did your knowledge of Kintyre come from?
Well, that was originally from my side. So the job I do, I work with a lot with environmental sensors. So that can be all over the place, can be anywhere where there's, you know, water to measure, wind to measure. That's the kind of area I work in. So I've done a lot of installs at the harbours across the west coast of Scotland, so on the islands and on the mainland. And at all the harbours, we have like tide data and wind data. So having kind of Craig on that in that kind of area, and obviously you've got Loch Ramsay just across the way and Clonoig on the route. Yeah, all of those harbours, we've got equipment out to measure the wind speeds and tide heights. So I know the area well, and I spent quite a lot of time in Tarbert. And one evening when I was up there, I went up to where the castle is in Tarbert, and there's a board there that says, this is the Kintyre Way. I think it might have changed now, the sign might have changed, but it was like talking about the Kintyre Way and had the whole route on there. And I just looked at it one evening and I was like, that looks like it would be an incredible route to run. And I was like, I wonder if anyone's done it. I still don't know for sure, you know, how much it's been run in the past, but yeah, I just decided it's something that I'd like to do. And I come up with ideas like that, but I'm not the best at planning. So that's where Joel came in. I kind of mentioned the idea to Joel. We got excited about it, but Joel's a far better planner than me. So he actually put some dates down, booked some accommodation, and that's when it actually became a real plan.
Yeah, I tend to be the guy with the spreadsheet. So I think we're a good team. The initial idea came from Simon, but then, yeah, I was the one that kind of got into the planning. You know, once we'd set some dates and once we'd announced that we were raising money for charity and started asking for donations, I guess that's when we felt fully committed. And, you know, it went from there. But yeah, amazing experience.
Yeah. Well, let's talk practicalities since we've just touched on it there. From you mentioned you had your parents supporting you, bringing dry shoes. What were the practicalities of bags, ferrying things to and forth, accommodation?
It was really thanks to our support crew. So fortunately, yes, like Simon said, our parents were supporting us through the route. So that meant that we stayed in the same place in the evenings, and then we set off just with our trail running vests on. So we had water, you know, basic foods. We made our own peanut butter energy balls, which actually ended up not being that great. But that would keep us going until midday. And then we would kind of have roughly estimated when we were going to get to a place by the middle of the day, meet for a top up, you know, refill the water bottles, and then kind of meet in the place where we were staying in the evening. So, yeah, I think it would have been very challenging, or we would have been very smelly by the end, definitely, with one change of clothes, because we would have been minimizing the weight we were carrying if we didn't have the support.
Yeah, hats off to anyone that can do that self-supported. I think there's no way I could have done that without mum and dad's support, you know, to actually take all our clothes and stuff in between each accommodation and have stuff for us at lunch. Like, to do that all self-supported and potentially just have one set of shoes that even though they get soaked through, you've got to just keep putting on day after day would have been pretty tough. So yeah, a big thanks to them.
And you met quite a few people along the route. Obviously, I know this because it's Kintyre and everyone knows everyone. And you created, I don't know if you're aware of it, you created quite a conversation amongst people going, have you heard about these two, crazy was put out there, the word crazy, these two crazy guys running the Kintyre Way. So how was it to meet people along the way? Were you treated with suspicion, welcomed, or did people think you were mad? I can tell you they did think you were mad, but also respected it.
We were definitely welcomed. I mean, I know we were on a WhatsApp group because a few people told us that they'd heard about us through the WhatsApp group. So we thought, oh, it must be quite a small community. And I think a lot of the local residents and business owners are on a single WhatsApp group. It was great. I mean, it was so nice to meet people. People were very generous, actually. We got donations as we were going up the route from local people. Local people our parents were talking to in shops as well gave us some donations. Definitely a big shout out to the guys at Ben and Tuck. They were very hospitable, and they actually gave us a little cheeky wee dram of gin to take on our way. We didn't drink it as we were running. We saved it for the evening, but it was definitely nice to enjoy that at the end of the day.
Do you have any favourite moments or favourite sections or views or...?
A lot of them. yeah, I mean, So much of it we got great weather for, and so much of the scenery along there looks amazing in the sun and kind of dramatic in the rain as well. Our third day was our one rainy day, and it's a different feel to it. And obviously, when you're running all day, being out in the rain all day is tough, but there's kind of a beauty in the bleakness of it sometimes in a weird way. But yeah, some of the bits that stand out, I'd say towards the end of day two, where we were heading into Carradale, there's a section along the beach there, just before you hit kind of, I think it's Carradale Bay, is it? I think. But that was stunning, a really nice route. And then because we were staying in the Carradale Caravan Park, there's a set of stepping stones we had to cross to get across the river there, which
And
was an interesting end to the day.
did you have
I
to
think the
wade
tide
the
was
whole?
coming in.
We did end up wading it. So it was at a height on the way in where you could cross some of the stones, but some of it was wading. But the next morning, we were trying to find the stepping stones again to head back out that way. We're like, I swear there was somewhere along this section. And we walked up and down. And yeah, they're completely underwater. It kind of slipped our minds that that section's tidal. And sometimes you've got the stepping stones and sometimes you haven't. So
Sometimes, yeah,
we had
just
to do a
getting.
bit extra that day to head back around to where we finished the previous day and then start off again.
Yeah, oh no.
I think my two high points that really stayed with me are probably just the end of a very difficult sections and actually seeing the end in sight. So definitely at the end of the first day, coming around the corner and seeing Campbelltown after whatever 50 kilometers. I just, have that mental image of thinking we made it. And then also on the last day, coming down into Tarbert is a lovely part because you see the village as you're coming in. And we actually took a small detour to go up to the castle just to go and stand by the castle, get a photo there before we came in. So they were quite special moments, I think. The relief probably more than anything.
And the other bit I remember as well, I can't remember whereabouts it was, Joel. I think it might have been was it the final day? Or it might have been day three, but you come down the big hill and you've got Arran just across the way there, like directly in front of you as you come down the hill as you're heading towards Clonagh. So that must have been day, I can't remember now.
It's the
Maybe
last
day
day.
four.
That'll be the
But
last one, yeah.
yeah, it was stunning that. Absolutely beautifully clear view across to Arran in all its glory. So yeah, it's lovely.
And people always like to hear about calamitous moments. You've mentioned the stepping stones problem, but did you have anything? Were there any points where you just thought, we can't do this? This is too much?
Day three was particularly tough weather-wise. We were really lucky days one, two, and four. We just had blue skies, no wind really even. Day three just turned and it was raining solidly, I think, the whole day. And it was very windy as we were kind of coming up over the top of the peninsula. And I just remember us both running and shivering, but while running and not being able to get the heat back in. And I definitely felt quite challenging then. I think when you're soaked through and your feet are soaked through and you're still having to do, we were looking at 20 miles ahead. That felt like a lot. But I'd say there weren't any points where I think once we were past halfway through the first day, I felt a lot more confident about the whole thing. I think the first day was really the test for us because neither of us had run anywhere near that far before. In fact, I think Simon, you'd never run a marathon before.
No.
And
Oh my
then
God.
before you did the ultra on the first day. So I think that first day in the bag, we felt a lot more confident taking on the rest.
Yeah, like that day three as well with the bad weather. I just remember there's a section right up on the top where there's like a clearing in the trees because I think that's a forestry kind of logging area. And there must have been about 5K where we just didn't say anything, got our heads down, and we're just running head on into the wind. And it must have been one of our fastest sections, I reckon, because we just wanted to get through it. It was really exposed up at the top there, and we just kind of ploughed on through the rain. So yeah, that was cold. But generally things went well. Like there wasn't any major incidents that we were like, this is a huge problem, except for just a couple of injury things. Like obviously we're not used to ultra running, so Joel had some issues with his knee and I had some issues with the top of my feet. So I think, when was it, Joel? I think it was start of day three that you set off, and within the first like 10K you just went, your knee just went and we were panicking.
Yeah, I did worry for a moment there that I always thought I'm going to finish this, but I was imagining, 10-hour days of limping it rather than what we were planning with the run. But fortunately, it seemed to go away somehow. I don't know. And yeah, we managed to get through.
Yeah.
The other, just the last one, I remember a kind of a particularly funny moment on day three. So when we got to the top of the peninsula, there's a wind farm. So there's, several wind turbines. And we knew it was getting pretty bleak when we were just seeing all of this debris across the path. And I'm thinking, what's this? It's like this kind of shards of white material. And it was a blade of a wind turbine. Actually, we got a little bit further, and there was a wind turbine with only two blades remaining on it, because one of them had snapped off, presumably in the high winds, and was across the path. So that's where we really thought, wow, it's getting quite bleak up here.
Yeah, the combination of that, the rain coming across, the low visibility, there's something like a really post-apocalyptic feel to the whole thing. It was really quite eerie. But yeah, I've never quite seen that happen to a wind turbine before. It must have had some insane weather up there.
I don't think that's supposed to happen to wind turbine. That's not. Oh my goodness. That is apocalyptic. Amazing. Now you were running for charity, GiveDirectly and Andy's Man Club. Could you tell us a bit about those and why they're particularly dear to you?
Sure. So Andy's Man Club is a charity that puts on weekly sessions once a week on Monday nights for men to just come together and talk about whatever they need to, basically. It could be about just some things you struggle with in your week. It could be some wider things you've struggled with, but it's just a really important thing, I feel, because I've been to some of these sessions before, and the way you see people change over the course of the hour that it's on is incredible, because there's just a sense of you can say whatever you need to in that room, and men generally are not very good at opening up and discussing how they're feeling. And honestly, it makes such a difference, like for people to just get things out. I think sometimes a problem shared with a group is a problem halved. So that's all it is. It's really simple. It's just these groups for men to kind of confidentially talk about whatever they need to talk about, anything difficult that's going on in their lives. And I think it really makes a difference. It's quite a dark topic and a very serious topic, but male suicide rate is huge. There's a statistic that it's the biggest killer of men under the age of 50, which is crazy. So it's just, I think, a really important cause, and it's doing really good things. So we just wanted to donate and help fund the tea and biscuits and all that kind of thing that help the sessions run. So, yeah, that's Andy's Man Club.
And the other charity we were running for is Give Directly. So Give Directly, it's a non-profit, and it essentially, it's a little bit what it says in the tin. They specialize in giving direct cash donations to the people who need it the most around the world. So people living in extreme poverty. And we really like them because they are very strongly evidence-based. There's a huge amount of research showing that actually the best way to help people often is to give them the cash so they can help themselves and actually choose what they spend the money on. And I think, a lot of people I speak to about this think, well, doesn't the money just go to waste? People not just buy, a load of booze. But actually, the research shows that people actually is probably the most effective way, actually efficient way, to help deal with extreme poverty and lift people out of extreme poverty. So we split the money between those two causes.
And the big question, how much did you raise?
Well, our target was £2,000. We thought, it was a bit ambitious, but with the generosity of the people we know, we actually reached 2,463, and that was from 72 different supporters. So it's just a massive thank you, really, to all those people. It really kind of gave us the, mental energy to keep going when it was on some of the tough bits. So yeah, that fundraiser is still open, so that is our kind of final figure. But if people were still to donate, then they're very welcome to do so, and we'd appreciate it a lot. So yeah, thank you so much to all those people that donated.
And if you wanted to donate to that, I'll put it in the notes for this podcast so you can go directly there. Joel and Simon, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast and for your incredible feat of endurance. It's amazing. And I think the gauntlet has been thrown down for other people to try and beat the 4-day, 100 miles running Or even just run the Kintawe. I don't think there's anyone else that has done it, so I hope others follow suit.
Well, I'd love it if other people were inspired to follow suit. It's certainly an amazing route, and I would really recommend it to people. And just to say as well, thank you, Alan, for this podcast. It was definitely something which really helped us to visualize and get excited about the challenge itself. And thank you to everybody who is involved in kind of maintaining and keeping the route going, because those blue way markers were just little blips of hope on the horizon for us, hundreds of times, I think, through the 100 miles. So thank you for everybody who's responsible for the upkeep and for maintaining the route. It's an amazing, amazing route.
Yeah, and we didn't get lost once. Follow those blue markers and we didn't get lost at all. But yeah, thank you as well to the people at the accommodations we stayed at. They're all super accommodating, helped us out with all wet gear. And yeah, were just really kind to us. So a big thanks to all the people we met along the way.
Thanks again to Joel and Simon. If anyone else has run the Kintawe, we'd be really interested to hear about it. You can reach us on thekintaiway@gmail.com. Details of the route and all the information you need for heading this way can be found on thekintaiway.com. Thanks again to the Old School House Gallery, Carradale, for sponsoring this episode.